program Friday, November the 5th, Dr. Bland.
With what shall I come before the Lord and bow before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with thy God? We shall read responsively selection number 18. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. May we pray together. Eternal God, who has spoken to us in the witness of lawgiver and prophet and apostle, we thank thee for that true and lively word which came in Jesus the Christ. We thank thee that we have seen through faith in him some knowledge of thy glory and some insight into thy purpose. We thank thee that his grace is our salvation, and not ours only, but that of all men who in faith will come unto thee by him. We pray that as we gather for these moments of worship, that thy word may indeed be lamp and light unto us, and beyond the concerns of this sanctuary, we pray this day for thy world and for all of thy children in it. We thank thee for those who minister in the relief of human suffering, for those who in patient scholarship toil to push back the narrow confines of ignorance, for those who in research engage in the discovery of new truth, and for those who do with their hands the necessary work in this world. To all of these, may there be given an awareness of their participation with thee in that which is creative and redemptive. Now may the blessing of the Lord our God be upon all here and everywhere who seek to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before thee. Amen. It had been announced that the speaker for the morning would be a medical doctor, Dr. Mary I. Griffith of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. At 20 minutes before 8 this morning, I received a telephone call that Dr. Griffith, who is an obstetrician, was engaged in the practice of her medical specialty and could not leave the patient, and sent her regrets that she could not be here. So I am on the spot, and so are you. But I shall read A portion of scripture from Paul's letter to the Philippians, and make some comments assuring you that this is something which more than once has already been delivered to the saints, but I trust that it will have some worth for us here today. In the fourth chapter of Philippians, Paul writes, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I complain of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things in Him who strengthens me." It may be fitting for us to think at this particular juncture in the semester's work of the fact that whatever else life brings to us, life brings us a series of tests. This is true in the academic community, and this is true in that larger community in which we all must participate. And so I come this morning with one question, and that is, can you take the tests of life? Can I take the tests of life? From the first century, there comes a witness who says to us, "I have learned how to be content." I wish I could say that. Maybe by the time I come to Paul's age and experience, I can say it, but I must confess before you and before God today that I've not yet learned to say, "I know how to be content." But I do trust that I am learning and that you are learning something of what Paul was getting at when he said, "I know how to take the tests of life. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want." But somehow I can imagine that some of us might want to argue with Paul a bit. Your world was very different from ours, we might say. You did not live in the nuclear age. You did not live in a world that was only a few moments away from destruction at any given point. If you were a 20th century man, Paul, could you still say, "I know how to take it"? And somehow across the years, the answer comes, "Yes, my friend, for you see, my world was no bed of roses. Let me tell you about some of the things that I have endured. 5 times I have received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I have been beaten with rods. 1 I have been stoned. 3 I have been shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have been adrift at sea. On frequent journeys I have been in danger of rivers, in danger from robbers, from my own people, from Gentiles, in the city, in the wilderness, at sea, danger from false brethren, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, cold, and exposure have been my companions. And apart from all this, and in addition to it all, there has been upon me the daily pressure of my anxiety for all the churches. And as if that were not enough, he says to us, even now, as I write this epistle, there is a heavy chain on my wrist because I'm in prison. In prison for the gospel's sake. But I would still say to you, I can take it. He said, I've learned how to be abased. I have learned how to take it when the water gets low in the creek beds of life. I've learned how to take it when failure is my portion. I've learned how to take it when the going is tough. I've learned how to take it when the soil is rocky. I've learned how to take it when things are not going at all well. It's a real test of a man's character, and more than that, it is a test of his faith for him to be able to take it when the water gets low in the creek beds of life. I've learned to be abased. In the pastoral ministry, some of us have had opportunities to observe people who have learned how to be abased. I remember a frail little woman, the mother of five children, widowed before any of them were grown, but a woman of great faith, and I recall hearing her sing with a congregation in a midweek prayer service less than a month after she had buried her husband. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Now, some of us find some fault with the theology of that gospel song. But that woman was affirming a faith when she sang it, and her faith was that she was identified with Christ to the point that she had learned how to be abased. He was a relative of mine, 35 years of age, a young business executive, doing well and with a promising future. From a thing that happened that looked of no consequence, there developed in his body very rapidly cancer. And he sent for me when he had been told that he had 3 weeks to live. I went to see him and we talked. He told me about provisions that he had made for his wife and child and about other financial arrangements. And then I said to him, Bobby, you know what you're up against, and I want to know if in your heart you feel that you are prepared to meet God. And he said to me, when I became a Christian, I committed my life to him. I don't want to die. I would like to live. But I am submissive to his will. For he said, you know, you don't become a Christian and then refuse the first decision he hands you. And he said, I'm not going to refuse this one. Almost 3 weeks from that day, he had gone, but there was a deep satisfaction in knowing that he knew how to take it when life was very tough. But then Paul said something else. He said, I know how to abound. I know how to succeed. I think this is more difficult for many of us than to be abased. Success is a greater test of a man's character and of his faith than his failure. You remember David, the king of Israel? When things were not going well, when he was abased, he was loyal to the faith of Israel. He was a psalmist. But now we see him on another day. He's in the king's palace in Jerusalem. The armies are out at the distant outposts, not engaged in war, but simply protecting the borders. And at that moment of his greatest success, he committed his gravest sin. For he desired another man's wife, and he took her. And he plotted that man's death in a frantic effort to cover his sin. He knew how to be abased. But he didn't know how to abound. Can you take it when life is at the full? When things are going well? When your fellow ministers hail your success? When the church through which you minister is enjoying great prosperity? Do you know how to take it? Now, Paul said, I've learned a secret. And here it is. I have learned that I can do these things. Indeed, I have learned that I can do all things in him who strengthens me. What was he saying? I think he was saying, I have found a center of life which lifts me above the tests of life so that my destiny is not dependent upon the circumstances of my life, but I recognize that in him I am strengthened so that I can take either failure or success, both failure and success. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. In the changing circumstances of our lives, if we are to be able to take the tests of life successfully, we too will have to find a center which lifts us above the contingencies and the circumstances of our existence. And that center is the living God who has disclosed himself fully and finally in Jesus the Christ. Can you take the tests of life? The answer is, I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. May we pray. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you in every good thing to do His work, working in you that which is well-pleasing, and unto Him be the glory and the power in the church and in our lives, both now and forevermore.